Good evening. If the technology holds out tonight, we'll use it, but if it don't, we don't need it. So we're just going to learn from Ty's mistakes. No, I'm just kidding. He did good. I'm just going to leave this on my desk, Wesley. I'm not going very far. All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight on Super Bowl Sunday. There's another activity you could be doing tonight, but we all know where we should be, and everybody here made that choice, so we thank you for that. Tonight, we're going to look at a song from Tim McGraw, and that might sound a little unconventional, but hopefully we can take some words of wisdom from the song, and we're just going to talk about simple topics tonight. You might think it a little unnecessary or elementary stuff because we talk about it all the time, but sometimes it's good to go back to the basics and learn what we might be lacking on. So, my thing ain't working here. We'll just use the computer. So the scripture I have posted here is from Proverbs 29:23, and it reads, "Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor." So this is a pretty simple verse here. Just telling us, we all heard pride comes before the fall, right? So what can we take from that? Don't be a proud person. Well, we're going to go through 3 points tonight, and hopefully when we're done, you might find yourself a little bit more of a humble person. I know that's something that I sometimes have trouble with, being humble, but it's just because Americans are proud people, and it's just in our nature to be proud. So hopefully we can work on that and learn from this lesson. So, lyrics to this song. Let's see if I can get the first here. I'm not going to worry about that. Lyrics to this song read. This is just some excerpts from the lyrics. "I'll hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When the dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind." Okay. So we're going to go through 3 points here, and we're going to go through the lyrics and hopefully connect them a little bit. So the first thing we're going to go to, or the first point, is be humble. It's pretty simple. We all know that. The lyrics there we just read, "Hold the door, say please, say thank you." Those are simple things that hopefully we all do, but if you don't see yourself doing those in just your daily life, maybe you should think about that going through. Don't steal, don't cheat, and lie. That's stuff we all know not to do. And then the next thing, you know, you got mountains to climb. So we all have our aspirations, and when we reach those aspirations, how do we feel about ourselves if we're done? We think, man, I'm pretty good for doing that, or is somebody helping us along the way? Here's some verses that talks about being humble, and then we'll look at the most humble person to ever walk the earth and see what we can learn from that. Mark 9:35, I think all these are written from NIV, and they'll all be posted behind. Also, I encourage you to follow along your Bibles. Mark 9:35 says, "Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'Anyone who wants to be first must be very last and the servant of all.'" So that's something we've always heard ever since you were a kid. If you're first, it's the worst, and the last, the blast, right? So that comes from Mark here, and Jesus told us simple things. Ephesians 4:2, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." All right, so we know we're supposed to. Now, let's talk about, there's one more here. "In the same way, let your light shine for others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Matthew 5:16. So that's one thing we just need to keep in mind when we're doing something. We're doing it for God, and we need to do it humbly. But Jesus was very humble coming to earth, and he didn't have to do that. And Paul writes about that in Philippians 2. So let's read that. Go ahead and turn to Philippians 2. This is a little longer excerpt. So let's just move this up here. Is that going to work? No, I don't think so. That's fine. Philippians 2:2-11. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy completely by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition and of vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God. Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory the God the Father. So we see here that Jesus was in paradise. He had everything you could ever want, and he humbled himself to the lowest level of a servant that you can get to die for us. So if that's no example of humility, I don't think it gets any better than that. And with this, we'll look at an example of how on earth he showed humility. Go ahead and turn to John 13, 3 through 5. It reads, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was turning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So Jesus was in the highest position you can get, lowered himself to the level of servant, and doing that, he washed his disciples' feet. Even if you read that a few verses later, Peter's like, no, there ain't no way you're washing my feet. Well, I should be washing your feet. But that just shows that we need to show humility, even if we're in high places. And then I have a little excerpt here about foot washing. We don't have to read all that. I think we're familiar with the practice of foot washing. It's a humbling experience, about as low as you can get. And I have a picture of shoe shining. That's a good modern equivalent we could make of that. Oh, we can read that. We got time here. Feet washing symbolizes humility and service. The apostles had been quarreling as to who would be the greatest in the kingdom, which they thought Jesus was about to set up. Most authorities agree that this quarrel took place before the supper. Peter's question, "Dost thou wash my feet?" shows clearly that his objection lay principally in this, that Jesus, the Lord and Master, should perform such humble service. But Jesus was trying all the time to teach his disciples that true greatness in his kingdom is humility and service. And I'm in the midst of that, of you as he that serves. We're going to skip that. Humility and service are fundamental virtues in Christian life. And that's something we need to always keep in mind. So, if we want to know how to be great, we first need to get as low as we can, because that's the example Jesus set forth. Alright, so the second point we're going to go with is don't be puffed up with pride. So, the lyrics here connects, we'll read those. Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. But it just keeps you from flying. Always stay humble in time. So the only way I could justify holding a grudge against someone or expecting someone from someone for doing something is because you think you're proud. You think, well, they wronged me, and they're not big enough to make up with me, so why should I do anything for them? Well, if we're humbling ourselves and becoming a servant, we're not following that pattern that Jesus set forth. So, we're going to look at a guy who could have took advantage of somebody who'd done wrong to him. But he did humble himself, even if he was a real high position. We went over this in Ty's young adult class a couple of weeks back. So, go ahead and turn to Genesis 50. We'll read a little bit about Joseph. Starting verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and then threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kind to them. So Joseph was in the position. He could have had all his brothers killed right then for everything they'd done to him. He'd been thrown in jail, sold into slavery, almost killed. Everything done bad to him you can imagine. And Joseph forgives him of everything. Because he says, well, it's not my place to judge you, that's God's place. So that's what we need to have in mind if we are inclined to hold grudge against anybody or expect something from somebody that maybe we don't deserve. So, sometimes we like to look at modern examples that we can compare ourselves to. So we're going to look at a man here in modern times, and although we don't agree with his religious doctrine, I think sometimes it is profitable for us to look at people's example as a human and how they act. So we got Pope Francis here. I don't know if anybody knows much about him, but Pope Francis is the first pope from South America and also the first Franciscan pope. And you might think, well, he's just another pope, but this guy has done some extraordinary things in the past 5 years that you might not be aware of. So, first thing is he took the, so popes take a new name once they become pope, which that's insignificant to us. But the name Francis is significant because that's named after Saint Francis, who was so he was a Christian back in the early times, and he was so humble that he wouldn't wear shoes. He thought that he wasn't worthy enough to wear shoes on God's earth. So when we also talk about Franciscans, you ever heard of Franciscan University in Steubenville and all this? Well, the Franciscans are a group of people who extremely humble themselves, and here's an excerpt about their mission. The original rule of St. Francis approved by the Pope did not allow ownership of property, requiring members to the order to beg for goods, food while preaching. The austerity was meant to emulate the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Franciscans traveled and preached in the streets while staying in church properties. So these people didn't even own property. They didn't own the shirt on their back. That's how humble they were. And they tried as best as they could to emulate the life of Jesus. And another thing that Pope Francis has done in his life is he doesn't take any money. He's poor. He didn't own any money. He feeds the homeless people of Rome personally rather than send his people out to do it. And something I learned while I was in Rome that was very shocking to me was that Pope Francis lives in a studio apartment, 800 square feet. That's it right there. About, I don't know, probably $200 a month in Rome. And he has the opportunity to live in the Papal Palace, which is pictured on the right, but he doesn't do it because he likes to stay humble. Now, we don't agree with this man's doctrine and what he does, but his example of humility is something that we can admire and aspire to. We can read this real quick. So, we're going to go ahead and turn back to 2 Chronicles, the Old Testament. And we're going to look at an example of somebody who thought they didn't need God and thought that he could handle everything himself, and we'll see what happened to him. So we're going to read about King Jehoash of Israel and his endeavors in battles. So starting in verse 18, it reads, "But Jehoash, king of Israel, replied to Amaziah, king of Judah, a thistle in Lebanon, sent a message to a cedar in Lebanon. Give your daughter to my son in marriage. Then a wild beast of Lebanon came along and trampled the thistle underfoot. You say to yourself that you have defeated Edom, and now you are arrogant and proud. But stay at home. Why ask for trouble and cause your own downfall and that of Judah also?" Amaziah, however, would not listen, for God so worked that he might deliver them into the hands of Jehoash, because they sought the gods of Edom. So Jehoash, king of Israel, attacked. He and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at Beth Shemesh in Judah. Judah was routed by Israel, and every man fled to his home. Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, and son of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh. Then Joash brought him into Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from Ephraim gate to the corner gate. The section about 400 cubits long. He took all the gold and silver and articles found in the temple of God that had been in the care of Obed-Edom, together with the palace treasures and the hostages, and returned to Samaria. So Jehoash here thought, well, first off, they turned from God a while ago, and he thought he wasn't going to listen to what Amaziah said, and he said, I think we can handle it. And they attacked the enemy and ended up having his whole city plundered and his army destroyed. So sometimes when we think that we know what we're doing, we should ask advice from other people, humble ourselves a little bit, ask God for advice always in the scriptures and through prayer. So that's just an example we can look to when we're in those situations. So the last point we're going to look at tonight is don't forget where or who you come from. So the last lyrics we're going to look at is when the dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride but always stay humble and kind. So when we have set a goal and we reach the goal, and we turn around and think, man, I'm pretty good, I did that. And most people are not able to do that when you think, well, who allowed us to do that? Or who helped me get here? We got to give credit where credit's due. So there's a psalm here we'll look at to back us up. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but the name, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. So David's just writing, we didn't do it. We're going to give the glory to God in everything that we do. And that's just how we should, follow our lives as Christians. And then the last set of verses we'll look at is from another very humble guy, Paul, and some things he said in Philippians chapter 3. So if you want to turn and follow along in Philippians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 7. So we've heard Paul talk about, he said, all the ailments he'd come through in his preaching endeavors. And he says, whatever gains to me now, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection, and participation in his suffering, become like him in his death. And so, somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul's saying here, everything that I've lost, and all the things that I missed out on, it doesn't even matter, because it's all worth it for knowing that he served Christ throughout his life. So that is the end of my presentation and lesson here. Hopefully you take from this, and maybe when we're feeling a little bit proud, we can humble ourselves, look to the examples of Jesus and Paul and some other people that we mentioned tonight. We didn't talk about much about baptism and salvation, but we did talk about Jesus. And Jesus did live a life of humility, and the most ultimate thing that he did to show his humility was he died on his cross. He came down from heaven, died, even though he didn't need to, for us. So if anybody here tonight is not baptized and they would wish to be added to the book of life, I'll ask you that, or anybody here has found it, they need the prayers of the congregation for anything, I'll ask you to take a seat up front as we stand and sing the invitation song.